Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Monday, the 23rd of March at 6:31. Happy National Puppy Day. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking to the private equity giant VentureWave, and we'll be looking at whether we are saving enough for our retirement, and all the markets as usual as they begin the week. And you can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at those main business and international stories on the websites and papers with the legendary Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Well, good morning to you, Joe. Hope you had a lovely weekend.
I had a relaxing weekend, thank goodness, and I hope you did too.
But it, well, it was there was no rugby to spoil it anyway, so that was a start.
To improve it. Now, let's start with something that is not going to be relaxing this week, and that will be the bond markets. They are antsy, to say the least.
They are. So the if you look at a 10-year bond, the interest rate that the financial markets charge, say, America or Great Britain or Germany to borrow, or any country for that matter, the yield on those has gone up by something like half a percentage point, or in some cases more than that, to show you that financial markets are getting very, very nervous. And they're getting nervous for three reasons. Normally, they would look for a bond as a safe haven because the government, in principle, is always going to be able to pay the interest and repay the loan. So they're seen as safe places to go, but not right now. Why? One, the worries about inflation because of the risk of sustained high oil and gas prices. And two, Western governments, maybe Germany's an exception, are generally fairly heavily indebted. They've borrowed a lot more than they had in the 1970s when we saw two oil price shocks. And just to give you a feel, and the worry is therefore, if the oil price drives an economic slowdown or a recession, welfare payments go up, income tax revenues and taxation revenues go down, and that makes the debt worse. Now, just to give you a feel, the interest bill alone on America's debt is currently $1.2 trillion a year. That's more than it spends on defense.
Wow.
And it's about a fifth to a quarter of the total tax take. The UK has just published a government borrowing figure for January. I think it was the monthly deficit for January, and it was £14 billion. 13 of that was interest payments. So you know now just exactly how sensitive we are going to be to those interest rates. If they keep on going up, it's made that situation worse. Then governments may have to start thinking about austerity, which they don't want to do. And there are other knock-on effects, as you were mentioning earlier. This is the base borrowing rate. Banks will use it as a reference point for their lending. So if interest rate bond yields start going up, at some stage mortgage rates might start doing as well. In fact, there's evidence that's happening in the UK and the US already.
And I also mentioned in my chat briefly with Shane Beattie the fact that almost a year ago exactly, bond yields reached 4.5% or 4.6% in the US, this is on the 10-year bond, and it led immediately to a climb down, or the first big taco from Donald Trump when it came to his tariffs, his Liberation Day tariffs. I wonder whether the same triggers will also be in his head, and that the bond markets will prove that they have way more power than the equity markets.
If I was Iran, I'd be poking away at those numbers, whether it's his limit on the stock market going down, his limit on the oil price going up, or the president's limit on the bond yield going up. I mean, there are suggestions, and I'm having a devil of a job proving it, that America is intervening in the oil futures market, buying paper oil to try and keep the price of physical oil down, which A, I don't think will work in the long term, and B, could even leave taxpayers exposed to losses, which really isn't very clever. But yeah, if I was Iranian, I would be looking at applying those pressure points, because as you say, in the past, that's where Trump has backed off, and he's got the midterms to think about. So even if it's not the bond market, he'll be looking at the price of gasoline at the pumps and the knock-on effect of inflation, and that will in turn influence Federal Reserve thinking. So if I was Iranian, I would be applying as much pressure to all of those areas as I possibly could.
Yeah, and another area that's really struggling, and you hinted at already, of course, is the aviation sector. Airlines are paying a lot more for their jet fuel, and that is going to mean far more expensive flights from the summer and autumn onwards.
Yeah, I mean, this is data from the International Air Travel Association in association with Platts, and the price of jet fuel in Europe now is 83% higher than it was for the February average. That's about $175 a barrel, and it's almost doubled year on year. Now, airlines, they're not daft. They know that fuel's a big percentage of their cost base. They do hedge forward. So Ryanair is 80% covered at $67 a barrel, for this year. So it's got an off, it's got a bit of protection, but that protection will start to unwind as the year goes on. And then Mr. O'Leary and his colleagues are faced with the decision of, do they put up fares? Do they cut capacity? Do they cancel flights? And so there are these difficult decisions. And United Airlines in America has been the first one to move. They've just cut 5% of their flight of their capacity for the second and third quarters of this year. So airlines will have done their best to protect themselves. But again, if this continues, and we all hope it doesn't for so many different reasons, if this continues, it could start putting the hammer down on airlines' costs and leave them with some difficult decisions.
Indeed, including potentially putting planes into storage, which is the reports of the weekend. We saw that Qatar Air were putting a lot of their planes into storage in Spain. Now, let's move on to someone who's no stranger to law courts, and that is Elon Musk. He had a big loss over the weekend.
Yeah, he doesn't lose many of these. Mr. Musk has been sued by investors about the 2022 deal when he bought Twitter. In the end, he paid $44 billion, but investors sued, saying that he'd offered misleading statements and had defrauded them by trying to talk Twitter's share price down, by suggesting that unless he was given firm evidence that there was only a tiny percentage of fake or spam accounts on the Twitter site, that he would put the deal on hold. Twitter's share price fell. These investors got frightened. They sold their shares. And then Mr. Musk said, actually, I've been reassured. I'm going to do the deal at the price that I said. So those investors are arguing they lost out on the takeover price and therefore they lost money. They've sued. And in a San Francisco court, they have won. So Mr. Musk is now going to be on the hook for damages, although those will only be revealed at a later date.
And he is someone who can afford the money either way. Now, finally, U.S. drug giants, they've been kind of telling us where they pay their tax. And a lot of it is in this little island here.
It is. It's a new U.S. accounting rule. Companies, if they pay a tax, if their global tax rate is below the U.S. tax rate of 21% for companies, they have to disclose where they pay their taxes. And this is after a campaign from the FACT Coalition, which is pointing out how much tax American companies are saying. Pfizer's just said that in 2025, it paid $2.7 billion in tax in America, but $1 billion in Ireland. Eli Lilly paid $3.3 billion in America and $6.6 billion in Ireland, so double. And Lilly have just said, look, this is where we've got our manufacturing. This is where we make the stuff. That's where we, therefore, we pay the tax. And that's the end of the discussion. But clearly there's pressure from the Americans to do something about that. And Lilly is saying, as indeed many drug companies are, we're now focusing on our manufacturing, new manufacturing capacity in America, from one of President Trump's previous policies before he got entangled in the war. And that, in theory, will increase their U.S. tax payments and take a little bit of the heat off those U.S. companies.
Yes, it was interesting that the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, was in the White House last week for St. Patrick's Day. And we were always bracing for some sort of comment about paying more tax and pharma, but it didn't come up at all because, of course, Trump is distracted with this Iran war. Russ, thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. That is Russ Mould from AJ Bell.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.